Safely to the land of His name is wonderful. 104. Thank y'all. Number 104. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name.
Songs. Praise the Lord. I told J.M. to take his water, his lukewarm water with him. I'm afraid I'd spew it out of my mouth if I took it. Amen. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? I'd like to be in there. I could explain to them a little bit. Amen. I had a prayer answered. Lord, I'm alive. I said, run to Google and see how many people's died from this. Tim, it's okay. Nobody has. That's what I said. I'd probably be the first. All right. Anyone else? Have your Bible, you want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. I preached one point of this message back a few weeks ago, before our revival, and you might ought to put your seatbelts on this morning, because you would not believe how bad the devil's fought me over this morning's message. I mean, I have lost hours worth of study, had it on the computer, and I didn't save it, didn't back it up, and then computer cut off for some reason, and I lost all of that work, and here we are. Praise the Lord. So I will give Him the glory and the honor, and I want Him to preach what He wants this morning. If you have your Bibles, you would stand with me. Exodus chapter 3. Very familiar passage. We know that Moses is now he's in the garden, or in the wilderness with the priest of Midian. He found his wife, and he'd seen the fire, the bush burning. He's been to the bush. He turned aside. Verse 3 says, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush. Aren't you glad this morning that God's called us? I'm so glad that, you know, and I think Jay mentioned it, Brother Jay mentioned it in the Sunday school class this morning, and people say, when I found God, and I didn't find God, He found me. He called me. He searched me out. He left the splendors of heaven. He left, sold everything He had to come and buy the field that I live in so He could find me. And I thank God for that. But God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover," he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your mercy and grace, your goodness. Thank you for each one that is here today. Lord, that we're not here by mistake. It's just not so happened. And you've got a selected crowd, a selected message, selected songs. Lord, that we know that you're in control, and it's not just by circumstance we're here. And God, I pray that you would give each one of us, it's here today, we're all in need of something. You'd give us exactly what we need. Father, that you'd challenge us and build us up and encourage us and lift us and help us in every area of our life. And God, help us when we go out the doors, we'll go out different than we came in, and we'll be blessed and, Lord, and could be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This message is a message titled, "It's Your Turn." And I'd preach was God's perception. Today I'm looking at God's presence. And God's presence. And as we thinking about here in verse 5, that Moses is now in the presence of God. He had seen the bush burning, and now he was in God's presence. And that's where we are today, and that's where I want us to get the vision, and I want us to get our mind set, and I want us just so we could just see that bush burning. And he is standing in front of God of the universe, face to face, speaking with God. Whew. Tony Evans, I have a book of illustrations, and one of the illustrations in that book, talk about imagining. Now, some would be excited and some would not be so excited, but imagine the President of the United States wanted to come to your house and have lunch with you. And even the ones that don't like him could get excited about him coming and get about 30 minutes to tell him what to think. Amen. And the ones that do like him could get about 30 minutes to tell him what to think. Whether you like him or not, he needs some advice. But anyway, imagine he was coming to your house. You got the call, and in 2 weeks, the President of the United States, and I'm not just using Donald Trump in particular, anybody that'd be the president, is coming to your house. Do you think that you would change the things that you normally do between now and in 2 weeks? You think your cleaning habits would change? You think of the things that you're scheduling would change? You think of everything, what you'd planned to do with the kids, where you'd been planning on going, what you were going to do, how late you were going to sleep. I think everything would change. Probably take a lot of time off work, get everything. Of course, it would change. There'd be so much Secret Service around your house that you couldn't even come and go, probably. But I got to thinking about this, and I got to thinking about the changes. See, we'll change for a man. How much do we change for God? We've got our plans, our agendas, the way we do stuff, the things we want to do, our plans, our directions, our goals, everything in our mind. We have it set, signed, set, and we want way we want it, when we want it, exactly how we want it, why we want it. It's just all of these things, and we won't change. We'd change for the president, but we won't change for God. What if God shows up? What if we meet God face to face like Moses did? See, Moses' world was getting ready to change. Life is, he wasn't going to be following the sheep any longer. He wasn't going to be out in the wilderness looking over sheep. He was getting ready to lead a big flock. He was getting ready to go into the most powerful man probably in the world and face him head to head and say, "Let my children go. Let the children of Israel go free." He was going to go and before the most powerful man probably in the world and on behalf of the most powerful being in the universe. And he was going to look him right in the eye and said, "God said to let my people go." He was getting ready to be used of God as much or more than anybody in history. Still today in Israel and all the way through, Jesus had to deal with the effects of Moses. The people had him so high up, Moses was the man. What God had done, what God had done in his life, and I want us to look, Moses was a murderer. And had run for his life so that he wouldn't be killed. Now he was representative of the most powerful being in the universe. Woo! What about us? What about us in our lives? I don't claim, you might be, but I don't claim to be anything special at all. I'm nothing at all. I'm just a half drywaller. I mean, I'm lower than the bottom of the totem pole. It don't matter what we are, is that we come into God's presence. We allow him. I know I've said it that Moses, they say first 40 years, he found out he was somebody. The second 40 years, he found out he was a nobody. The last 40 years of his life, he found out what somebody that figured out there was nobody that God could do with him. Amen. And That's where we are as humans. And I want us to look this morning. See, Moses had just been face to face. And God said, take your shoes off. Take your shoes off your feet, because where you are standing is holy ground. And on down in the verses that it talks about him being in his presence, but I'm afraid so often what happens is that if we're not real careful, we'll try to get too close to the things of God. We'll try to take off the awe of God and the awesomeness and the reverence of God and try to muffle it down and water it down to where it's just okay. The children of Israel, even in Jesus' day, and I don't know about today, they would not even say the name of God. The reverence. God got their attention out of the Ten Commandments. He said, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. And it goes on to say that God will not hold a man guiltless that does. And see, people, we handle God's name, God's word, the things of God, God's ministry, God's sanctuary. We handle the things of God loosely if we're not careful. And I tell you that there's some reverence and some things about the things of God that we as Christians especially, we ought to reverence and lift Him up and put boundaries of things around the things of God. This is not my notes. God has just set me apart right here. And now that if we're not careful, we'll disgrace and do things in the name of God to the things of God if we're not real careful. Now I'm all about not having all these rules and legalism and I know when you come to Christ, but I'm going to also tell you, we got to be careful how we handle the things of God. And how we talk to people. How that we as Christians, the words that we use. I was in intense Bible study for hours the other morning, and Gary, I talked to Gary, and I thought it was for tonight's message, and I don't, it may still be. But man, and I told Rhonda last night, she said, well, the Lord didn't want you to preach that. And I said, well, it may have just been the message for me. It may have just been. He said, I don't want you to share this, everybody. This wasn't for you. And Jesus said, let your yea be nay, and your nay be nay. Let your conversation of your mouth, don't complicate it with a bunch. I think we use too many adjectives. We put too many words in with her, and this is what God dealt with me in my study the other morning. We put too many things in with their conversations. Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Anything other than that is evil. Woo! That gets her down to the nitty-gritty. That gets it down to where the rubber meets the road. And this, see, Moses was standing in front of God. This his presence, and I can't get over this. I can't get around this and I pass it. That God is, the Holy Spirit has just given me in such a way. Can you imagine standing in the presence of God? We can't, can we? Well, you better get used to it because you're going to. Woo! One day we're going to. And we're not going to stand in front of Him as being encouraged to go do something. We're going to be standing in front of Him and giving an account of how we handle the things of God. How we handle the chores that He gives us. How we handle the situations He has allowed us to get into. The words that we said in certain places. The things that we have thought about the things and the people of God. The things that has come through our minds, our hearts, our mouth, and through our hands, that we will give an account as Christians before God. We don't like to think about that part, do we? Or I don't. I mean, just as Moses stood that day and he said, Moses, take your shoes off. I don't see there anywhere where Moses said, nah, I don't think I'm going to. I believe he's off. And he's on his face before God just like that. Anytime in Scripture I see that anybody gets in front of God, they're on their face. And they see themselves to where they are. Isaiah said, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in a people that's unclean. So put your shoes off. See, in God's presence is holiness. I'm not trying to scare us off of the presence of the Holy Spirit. See, that Spirit now dwells within us. You didn't get that. Let me say this again. Let me say, yeah, it's working. That presence that Moses stood in front of now lives right here. Ooh. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that, that's special. That's who we are. In God's presence. See, Moses was there in His presence, but I'm in it every day. Glory, hallelujah. I've got the power of the most intense, the most powerful thing in the whole universe living inside of me. Glory, hallelujah. And you do too if you've called upon His name. So in the morning, black the devil's eye and send him down the road. Praise the Lord. I'm not even going to get through the introduction. See, the direction was to take your shoes off. And your shoes is the emblem of the sin and pollutions of the world. And I think probably a lot of Christians in the world today, we've not taken our shoes off. We want to get into the Lord. We want to be saved, and we want God to bless our everything, and we enjoy going to church. We enjoy going to Bible study. We enjoy witness to people, a lot of things, but we've never got to the point to where we have got down and we've taken our shoes off. We've taken all the influences of the world. We've taken all the things that bog us down and tie us and drag us down. The emblem of sin, the emblem of the pollutions of the world, the emblem of the things that's going around in the world today. And so many, I could go so many ways right here and I won't. But we've not taken these things off. The best thing I ever did do when I took off the old coat and I put on the new. If you're going to put something new on, you got to take something old off. If we want, was it my seventh grade school teacher used to have a poster on the wall. It said, it's hard to soar with the eagles when you hang around a bunch of turkeys. Amen? We want to soar. So let's quit hanging out with the turkeys. Let's hang out with the eagles. Amen? Let's not get it be involved and entangled. And the Bible said if you've been saved in 2 Peter and then get entangled with the affairs of the world, we get entangled with the things of this world and we allow this world to entangle us. Romans 12, 1 and 2, so I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service, and be not conformed. Be not put into the world's mold, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, we're in His presence, and that when we come in and to be in God's presence, we need to be prepared spiritually. I read it, found a statement that said, servants that know how to take off their shoes in humility can be used of God to walk in power. Being able to humbly, humility, and accept what is given, take off our shoes in humility. Numbers 12:3, the Bible says that now the man Moses was very meek. I want you to listen. Now see, it's not just so happened that this man is the one God chose. The man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. When God chose a man to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, He chose the meekest man in the whole world. Ooh. He didn't just flip a coin. Well, I'll take Moses, Aaron, or... No, he said, I'm going after this specific man. His heart is where I want it. He is exactly where I want. What is it David said? Probably most powerful king, most feared king of Israel, I believe, myself. Said he's a man after God's own heart. Whew. You want to be the best servant and want God to use you greater than anything, then have the heart of God, the mind of God, and the meekness of God. Ooh. That's who God uses. He don't use a lot of people with bad attitudes and hot tempers. He used me anyway. But He used a meek man. Josephus, the historian of first century historian, said that it was a general opinion that God dwelt on that mountain and shepherds considered it sacred and would not dare to feed where their flocks were, feed their flocks anywhere around that mountain. They were so scared of that mountain. They said they believed it to be the mountain of God where He dwelt. Moses saw that it is the best grass, the most fertile ground, and the best place to be. And he went and was in that area. Whew. Come back tonight and I'll preach you the message. Is that a deal? I'm going to let you go with this. Let's not let things of God scare us off. Let's not let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, things we don't understand, the things that we'll get a little deeper into some things tonight. A little deeper into the deep things. I'm going to get into the New Testament with it. But I'm so afraid that we as Christians We like Christian living. We like our Christian cars. We like our Christian houses. We like our Christian music. We like our Christian food. We love our Christian friends. We love our Christian church. But when you start saying about sacrifice, carrying your cross, putting our wants aside, submission, I could use amen right there. You know, we start thinking about the deeper things of God, a greater commitment, fasting and praying and seeking God's face, and get into the nitty-gritty of what God is doing and what He's doing in America today. See, we're caught up with what He's done in the past. I want to know what He's doing today. I want involved what's coming today, what's going to be next week, what's going to be next month, what's coming next year. I want involved in the now, the past. The past is good. I love the past. That encourages me for the future. But I want to know what's coming on down the road here in the next little bit. Because if I'm looking in the past too much, I'm going to get hit head on with something that I don't see coming. And I don't even know how what the in the invitation. I told you I was so scattered. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. And I'm so thankful this morning, God, for Your presence. I'm so thankful for Your word that tells us, Lord, how we are to act in Your presence. And Lord, the Bible tells us that we are the temple of Your Spirit. And Lord, if we're the temple, we'd better be sanctified. We'd better be holy. We'd better be clean. We better be sure that we've got things in the right order. Father, I pray this morning. I don't know what You have spoke to hearts this morning. But Lord, whatever You have spoke to anyone about today, whatever burden anyone has brought in here with them today, whatever extreme case that anyone's going through today, Father, I pray that You'll be able to, that You would help. I know that You're able. God, we would accept it. Allow You to minister to our needs. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Will you come? Today. Praise the Lord. Just thinking about that verse. He said, don't come any closer where you're standing is holy ground. You got to be prepared to come. And if the Holy Spirit dwells within us and we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? means everywhere we go is holy ground. Your workplace tomorrow is holy ground for you. Your school is holy ground. Your home is holy ground. Wherever we go, because we're walking in the presence of God. We're walking in the power in His presence. That's a responsibility. That is an awesome responsibility. When we tag the word Christian and we say, I'm a believer, I've accepted Jesus, then there's a walk that follows that. There's a taking the shoes off. There's a humility. There's a love and there's a respect. And I'm going to get in tonight a little more about some things of Moses. But I want us to look this morning. Are we ready to stand in His presence? Are we to work? See, I'm seeing a great thing, a moving of God in this church in the next few months. I'm with great expectation of seeing some tremendous things happen through this church. Are you? Well, God's not going to use a bunch with their shoes on. If we want to be used of Him the way He used Moses, we've got to come clean with Him. We've got to just take it all off and just lay it down at His feet and say, God, it's all Yours this morning. It's everything You, and I've dealt with it. It's brought me down and I'm tired of it. And I want You to take it. See, we'll take our shoes off, but we'll put them back on. And again, as we sing another verse, will You come? Will You come?